Welcome to the Coffee with Kathy podcast. Take a moment to subscribe and like us on Facebook if you haven't already. You can also check out all of our books, merch, and future podcasts at coffeewithkathy.com. Now grab yourself a cup of coffee and get ready to be encouraged. Here's your host, Pastor Kathy Heitschu.
My favorite preacher is preaching tonight. How about that? Amen. My most favorite preacher in the whole wide world's preaching tonight. You ready? Huh? Amen.
Amen. He said, are you ready? In season and out. Mostly out for me because I don't get to preach very often, so I had to be ready like all the time. Amen. How about the worship team? Amen. Why don't you just praise God? Praise God for our worship team. Amen. It's Easter Monday, in case all y'all didn't know. Amen. It's Easter Monday, so I'm going to preach an Easter message because I didn't get to yesterday, right? I heard about a little boy sitting next to his friend at church one Easter Sunday morning. His friend said, how'd you get that bruise on your arm? I'm like, we just fixed that little cord. I don't want to trip over that. That will be a sight for all y'all. He's like, how'd you get that bruise on your arm? He said, well, I ate some Easter candy. And his friend said, eating Easter candy won't give you a bruise on your arm. And the little boy snapped back and said, it will if it's your big brother's candy. Amen. I was going to say, I feel like I'm a little bit high. Not high like y'all all think, because I'm from Alabama, but calm down. But I feel like my voice is, do something, my Mr. Sound Man, mighty man of God, my mighty fine man of God. Fix that. Listen, my two boys, Jameson and Aaron, were getting ready to dye some Easter eggs a couple years ago. And Aaron said, Jameson, I'll give you $10 if you'll let me crack 3 eggs over your head. Okay, this is a true story. Not really, but it sounds good. And JJ said, promise? Do you promise? And Aaron said, yes, I promise. I'm going to give you $10. So happily, Aaron broke the first egg over Jay's head, and it just ran all down his hair. He broke that second egg, just slammed it right there. Amen. Egg all down his face. Jameson braced himself for that third egg. You know, brother's ready, going to get that $10. And he's like, aren't you going to break the third egg? And Aaron said, no. I'd have to give you $10. How about that? Listen, life is full of empty promises, just like that 10 bucks. It's like Mom always said, if something sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Amen. Marketing experts create commercials and ads that tell us that we'll be happy and skinny and wrinkle-free and famous if we just buy their product. Raise your hand if you bought some of that product. Yes, amen. I see all y'all's hands. I see everybody's hand just went up. It's true. I mean, and now the new thing is the Instagram ad. How many of y'all fell for any of those? Amen. I could bring in a whole bunch of stuff that they make it so glamorous. Like you're going to go from a size 12 to a size 2 overnight. You just got to stay on this machine that jiggles you to death. It's for real. My husband is the famous, I won't tell y'all, but everything, anything and everything, he'll buy it. Amen. I just get the packages from the front door. I open the door and the Amazon guy, the delivery guy just looks at me and I just look at him. We both just roll our eyes and shake our head. James Heitschu, as seen on TV, anything, he'll buy it. I'm not even kidding. That's payback for the last time you preached. The government even promises you if you support this bill or elect this person, then everybody's going to be healthy, happy, and wise. Ain't it true? And it doesn't take long before we've been fooled enough to know that the world's promises are full of emptiness. True. Slap your neighbor, tell him you don't know who you're sitting next to. Just get that out of the way right now. Tell him you don't have a clue who you're sitting next to. Okay. Just making sure we're all, Kathy's preaching, so everybody calm down. Take a deep breath. Let it out. And some people wonder if the same is true of God. Is he full of emptiness? Can I tell you, our God is a God of promises? You should just clap right there. Our God is a God of promises. Amen. And besides, we're online, and y'all clapping makes everybody at home wish they were here, because it must be good, because they're clapping. In fact, the Bible records over 7,000, get this, over 7,000 promises from God to his people. You ought to grab a hold of one or two of them. Amen. We live in a world of broken promises and unmet expectations. Sometimes you've been the one to give those out. Oh, me, I better know. We make commitments and we don't follow through. Raise your hand. In your old life, you used to do that. Amen. See, yes, everybody. In your old life, you made plans and promises and you never even intended to keep them. Amen. It's true. But that was your old life, right? But listen, not God. God is different. Can I tell you, God is different. He never makes a promise he doesn't 100% finish it, complete it. Amen? Not God. God is different. I'm going to teach you on three promises marked by something empty. An empty cross, empty clothes, and an empty cave, because I wanted a C word, but we'll all go with tomb. Amen? Say amen. I hope you brought your Bible. I hope you brought a pen and paper and take good notes. The fact that each of these three are empty assures us God's promises are not empty. First one you're going to write down, the empty cross. The empty cross. If you were to return to the scene of Jesus' execution that day, you would find this braided crown of thorns stained crimson red with his blood. You would find three iron nails covered in dirt, dried blood. You would find the wooden cross stained with his blood. And to think that those nails held my sin to the cross. That those nails held your sin to the cross. Sin led Jesus to the cross. It's true. Lies, jealousy, anger, betrayal. And not only the lies of his accuser, not only the jealousy of the priest, not only the anger of the crowd, not only the betrayal of Judas, but my lies, mine, my jealousy, my anger, my betrayal, my addictions, my pride, my gossip and slander, my lust of the flesh, my selfishness, and yours too. Can I tell you, every sin comes with a price tag. Every sin, the one you committed today, the one you committed yesterday, last week, last month, last year, sin comes with a price tag. A lifetime of sin is enough to rack up some major debt in heaven. I'll give you just a few of them. You yell and scream at your family. Cha-ching. You want everything your neighbor has, keeping up with the Smiths, Joneses, whoever. Cha-ching. You envy your other people's success. You really envy their success. Why didn't it happen for me? Why didn't I get it? Why me, me, me? Cha-ching. You lose control. You give in to temptation. Cha-ching. You fall asleep during my preaching. Cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. You've had to laugh like a long time ago. Father and father in debt, amen. And at first, you know what we do? We try to repay what we owe. I'm going to teach you today. We do. We try to figure out that our account balances out as long as our good deeds, our commitments outweigh our bad, right? Our good deeds outnumber our bad deeds. But that's not how it works. I came with good news on Easter Monday. The Bible tells us in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is... Y'all so smart. Y'all ain't all been to Bible college. I ain't been to Bible college either, just everybody calm down. Simply put, the cost of your sins is more than you can pay, but the grace of God is more than you can imagine. And just take a minute and unpack that right there. The cost of your sins is more than you can pay, but the grace of God is more than you can imagine. You know what God does with that list of sin? Let me read it to you. You know what he does? Listen to what Paul says with our list of sin. Colossians 3. starting in 13. It says, you were dead in sin, and your sinful desires were not yet cut away. Then he gave you a share in the very life of Christ, for he forgave all your sins and blotted out the charges proved against you. The list of his commandments, which you had not obeyed, he took the list of sins and he destroyed it by nailing it to the cross. Amen. Aren't you glad for Colossians? Some of y'all didn't even know that was in the Bible. I'm helping you today. So the empty cross, the first one, the empty cross promises forgiveness. Forgiveness. I mean, after 6 long, agonizing hours on the cross, and some of us can't even sit in church an hour and 46 minutes and 29 seconds. It's the truth. Some of us, we start getting nervous. If we sing too long, the offering, they do that all the time. I don't know why they take that offering every time. We can hardly sit 2 hours, let's say 2 hours, in a true, real Pentecostal church. Think about that next time. 6 agonizing hours. Because we all think, you know, that they beat him and whipped him and tortured him and all that, and then put him up on the cross, dropped it in the ground, and the movie's over. You know what he said after those 6 hours of agonizing? John 19:30. It is finished. And what makes these words so meaningful is this. The Greek word translated "it is finished" is tetelestai. Everybody say, glad you didn't have to say that word. It's an accounting term that means paid in full. Come on. Paid in full. When Jesus uttered these words, he wiped out all the debt that had been racked up by your sin and mine. He paid the debt that we could never repay. Isn't he so good? That's why the empty cross promises forgiveness for all of our sins. Thank you, Lord. Number 2, the empty clothes. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus were both Pharisees who secretly believed in Jesus, like some of you. I mean, online people, not all y'all in the room. I'm talking to the people online. Hey, all my online friends, welcome. Just preaching the truth. Y'all would like me to preach truth. Reluctant during Jesus' life, but they were very courageous at his death. Listen to this. They requested permission from Pilate to bury the body. We're talking about empty clothes now. They climbed Golgotha with burial clothes, which were long strips of linen cloth. Okay, so Pilate supplied permission, Joseph supplied a tomb, and Nicodemus supplied the spices. John 19:40, then the Bible says, following Jewish burial custom, they wrapped Jesus' body with the spices in long sheets of linen cloth. Now for John, who witnessed this firsthand, pay attention. For John, the arrival of the burial clothes represented the departure of hope. The grave clothes were a tangible reminder that his faith and his future were wrapped in cloth and sealed behind a tomb. John didn't know on Friday what you and I know now. John didn't know that. All hope was gone for him. In fact, listen, he would later confess this right here in John 20 and verse 9. He would confess that him, not just him, but other people with him, still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. John and other people believed in Jesus. They put their faith in Jesus. They put their hope and their dreams rested in a man that they believed was God sent in a human flesh. And then he died. Imagine. The body is wrapped up. It's laid to rest. All of his followers were discouraged. Nobody was out there, woo, Jesus on a cross, crucified. Woo, no. They were disappointed. They were discouraged. Doubt is everywhere. The air was probably filled with doubt. We're talking about Friday. His death dealt a crushing blow to John, as would any of you if you were his disciples on that day. Maybe you can even relate. Tragedies have destroyed your faith. There's so much loss in your life. Loss of a job, loss of a loved one, loss of friends, relationships destroyed. Maybe God didn't show up when you thought he should have. Maybe life got hard and you couldn't cope. Your hopes got shattered. Your faith suffered a devastating blow. I'm speaking to somebody tonight. You begin to wonder why God lets bad things happen. You begin to wonder if there's even a God at all. Where is he? Does he even exist? And what we learn from John is this. He hung in there a little while longer. And I want you to hang in there a little while longer. We don't know what John did on Saturday. We don't have any passage to read. There's no insight I can share with you. But all we know is when Sunday came, John was still present. John was still there. What about you? What about you when you're in John's position? What do you do? When you're somewhere between yesterday's tragedy and tomorrow's triumph, what do you do on Saturday? What do you do? Do you leave God or do you linger? Do you linger in him? John chose to linger. And because he lingered, y'all, he was around to see the miracle on Sunday. Amen. Listen to this. Very early on Sunday morning, Mary burst through the door and delivered the news. They've taken his body out of the tomb. See, in Mary's mind, she thought Jesus' enemies had done come stole him. So instantly, Peter and John hurried to the tomb. You know the story. John outran Peter and arrived first. You know, John wrote the story. And he's like, the one Jesus loved so much outran Peter. That's not like I would have wrote. That one that Jesus loved so much, his favorite daughter, she outran. He was so stunned when he got there. He froze at the entrance. He didn't even go in yet. He just got there. Listen what he did. He stooped and looked in and saw the linen cloths lying there. While Jesus' hospital mask was folded nice and neat. Okay. So y'all all sleeping. That's what it is. Cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. See, even Jesus left his mask behind too. While the cloth that had covered Jesus' head was folded up and lying apart from the other wrappings, even. Not floating out in the ocean to kill all the turtles. My mind would have been racing like John's too, though. I'd be all Nancy Grace. I'm not even kidding. I'd be all like CSI, investigative report. Talking about if someone had stole the body, why'd they take the grave clothes and fold them all up and leave them there? Why not just take the body with all the clothes on him? Why waste time unwrapping a body only if you're going to steal it? But John knew there is only one answer it could be. Only one answer. John 20 and verse 8, the Bible says, he saw and believed. He saw John, the disciple, and believed. So the empty clothes promise us faith. On the first Easter, check this out. God took those burial clothes, which was a tangible reminder of Jesus' death, a symbol of tragedy, and he made it a symbol of hope. Yeah. Right? He made it a birthplace of faith for someone named John. A pile of empty clothes restored John's faith. He looked in and saw clothes all folded up. And God wants to do the same for you. When your faith is shaken, when doubts arise, when fear wells up inside you, when you got that whole coulda, shoulda, woulda thing happen and it didn't. Remember the empty clothes. Don't leave God. Linger near him. Restore your faith in him. You might just be one day away from the miracle. One day away from the miracle. For John, the empty clothes were proof positive that Jesus had risen. And because of that, his faith was renewed. His faith was restored. I'm telling you today, renew your faith. Restore your faith today. Be like John. Number three, the last one, I'm almost done. The empty tomb, the tomb where Jesus was laid to rest, belonged to Joseph of Arimathea. It was a newly carved cave that cut into the side of a rock wall. Some of you have been there. Some of you have traveled there and been in it. It's a man-made cave with a rock slab bench inside. I heard that a friend later pulled Joseph aside and said, Joseph, that was such a beautiful, costly, handmade tomb. Why on earth did you give it to somebody to be buried in? And I heard that Joseph said to them, well, why not? He only needed it for the weekend. Now, that conversation may have never happened, but it's true. Nonetheless, it is true. Amen. After Peter and John discovered the empty clothes, they returned to town. This is so good. But Mary and some of the ladies, all the ladies in the house said, hey. I love y'all. But Mary and some of the ladies lingered at the empty tomb. Look what it says in Matthew 28, verse 5. Suddenly, angels appeared to them and announced, don't be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He's not here. He's risen from the dead as he said he would. Come and see the place where his body was. So the tomb reminds us that Jesus remained empty as a symbol, the tomb of Jesus remained empty as a symbol of life that outlasts the grave. It's life everlasting. In other words, the tomb promises forever. Forever. Our minds can hardly grasp the concept, but Jesus promised it over and over again. John 3:16, every one of you know it, should have it memorized. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have eternal life. John 4:14, he assured the woman at the well, those who drink the water I give them will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. In John 6:47, he announced to the crowd, for it is my Father's will that all who see his Son and believe in him should have eternal life. I will raise them up at the last day. We can hardly grasp the concept, but it's promised to us over and over. And most people today hope for a long and happy life here on earth, but Jesus offers so much more. He offers forever. He offers eternity. The promise of eternal life, y'all, that's the heartbeat of hope. That's where I get my hope from. That's why I don't care if someone tries to kill me. First off, they can't. I can't die till I'm 120. I claimed it. But I have hope in something, that to die is gain, so I don't care. It's what we as Christians long for and look forward to. At least we should. As time goes by, y'all, we feel more and more limited by a 24-hour day. We feel limited by a 7-day week. We feel limited by a month. We feel limited in the fact that there's only 12 months in a year to which to distribute the demands the world has placed on us, our flesh has placed on us, to eat up our time. We should marvel at the gift God has promised us forever. He's promised us forever. Eternity. The Apostle Paul said this in Romans 6:8-10. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. When he died once to break the power of sin. We're not supposed to have sin in our life. We're not supposed to have sin have us. He broke the power of it over our life. Verse 10, but now that he lives for the glory of God. So the empty tomb serves as a powerful reminder that Christ rose from the grave never to die again. He promises. that if we believe him, we'll live with him forever. We got such a good deal. Like the unforgettable final verse of Amazing Grace, you know it. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing his praise than when we first begun. The empty cross promises forgiveness for all of our sins. All of them. The empty cross promises forgiveness of sin. The empty clothes promise faith for those who stay close to God. The empty tomb promises forever to those who put their faith in the one who conquered death. Our God is a God of promises, and he always keeps them. The very fact that the cross and the clothes and the tomb were found empty assures us that the promises are not empty. Amen. His promises are not empty. God didn't create you for time. He created you for eternity. He created you for eternity. And every head bowed. Maybe you're holding on to some empty promises. Maybe you feel empty. Maybe you are empty. Maybe you don't feel anything anymore. Maybe life has drained you. Life has hardened your heart. People have promised you over and over and never follow through. Never follow through. Your employer has let you down time and time again. Your spouse has promised to get better, promised to do better, promised to be better. The world even keeps you drained and empty. And you would just raise your hand and say, Kathy, pray for me. That's totally me. Pray for me. And just slip your hand up. I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand. The empty cross promises forgiveness. Receive the forgiveness today. Even those who owe you an apology and never give it to you, just decide tonight, I forgive. I forgive her. I forgive him. I forgive them. No, they didn't ask me to. Yes, I promised I never would, but tonight I changed my mind. Forgive them. Forgive yourself. Some of you would raise your hand and say, I need to forgive myself. I'm hard on myself. I got to forgive myself. Maybe today you're full of doubt. Maybe you come in here tonight full of disappointment, full of despair. Something dealt a crushing blow to your faith. Like it did John's. Something shattered your hope, shook your faith, caused you to just be going through the motions. Every day I just get up and go through the motions. If that's you, you'd slip up your hand and say, pray for me, Kathy. Yes, I see you, I see you, I see you. Just going through the motions. The empty clothes promise faith. Hang on. Can I tell you to linger in his presence? Can I tell you don't be so quick to get on to the next thing in your day? Make sure those 24 hours count for the kingdom. Make sure you're spending time with him every day. And the last one, maybe you're tired of being empty. Maybe you're confused about where you'll spend eternity. Not sure heaven will be your home. You would raise your hand and say, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if heaven would be my home. You say, pray for me, Kathy. I'm confused about it. I just don't know. Been in church all my life. Had a Christian parent. The empty tomb promises forever. You can spend eternity in heaven. You can make him Lord of your life. Some of you have made him Savior of your life. He saved you. You're on your way to heaven, but you really haven't let him be Lord of your life. You would say, I've had 1 foot in the world and 1 foot in church. And you would raise your hand and say, pray for me, Kathy. That's me. 1 foot in the world, 1 foot in church. Thank you. I see you. Thank you. And everybody look up here at me, stand to your feet. I want you to restore your faith in him. Some of you are just one day away from a miracle. Some of you are just one prayer away from a miracle. a miracle. Some of you didn't even believe in miracles till you got here tonight. And your faith has been built. Your faith been restored. And you do believe in miracles now. His promises are not empty. I want you to grab a hold of some of them tonight. I'm going to pray for some people tonight. God wants to demonstrate His power tonight. You don't have to wait to night 49. You don't have to wait to night 50. This thing is going to grow and grow and grow. They're going to be standing room only. I've already seen it in the spirit. You're going to go home and invite people to come. It's going to get bigger and bigger because we go from glory to glory. And He's going to demonstrate His power. And I'm going to be here. He wants to perform signs and wonders and miracles. He wants to do it more than we want to receive it. He wants to bring freedom. He wants to build your faith and restore your faith and bring freedom to you. He offers complete forgiveness. Complete forgiveness. He wants you healed more than you want to be healed. He wants you healed more. Some people watching me online don't even want to be healed, period. He wants you healed anyway. Some of you would say, but I don't believe in Him. He believes in you. Amen? He always has, and He always will. He wants you full of joy. Some of you are sourpuss. I'm not kidding. And it's not just your spouse is calling you that. I'm calling you that too. Amen? Some of you got zero joy. And you don't understand, like, how's Kathy got all that joy? I mean, it's the coffee, but still. Amen? Some of you really need joy. I'm not talking about happy. There's a difference between joy and happy. Happy is you make me happy. You bought me something. You did something for me. You gave me a hug. You make me happy. Joy comes from the inside. Honey, you ain't got to do nothing to get joy. You didn't give it to me. You can't take it from me. Joy. Some of you just need a spirit of joy to hit you. I mean real joy. That makes you do radical things for Jesus. Makes you be radical for Jesus. He wants you filled. He doesn't want one person here to remain empty. You might just be all the way full to your eyeballs. He wants the rest of it full. Some of you got none, empty. We cut you open, ain't even no heart or organs or blood or nothing. Some of y'all is just meanness. But I intend to love you back. Amen? I intend to love you until you are fully restored. No more empty promises. No more empty faith. If when you stood up and I started talking, you immediately said to yourself, I'm going to be in that altar call. Come now quickly. Michael is going to direct you where to stand. If you raised your hand for me to pray for you, come quickly. If you're thinking to yourself, I'm not going no matter what, come quickly. That's a sign from the Lord because I wasn't even supposed to say that. If you thought to yourself, if you say, I'm empty, I'm half empty. I see things half empty. I don't see things half full. I see things half empty. Come. 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 He wants you so full. He wants you so radical. You would say, Kathy, I want that radical anointing on my life. Come. That's what 50 days of fire is for us to just get in His presence and let Him do what only He can do, what He wants to do. I'll be in every altar call. I wouldn't even care. They'll be like, man, they laid hands on you like 45 times in 45 days. I'm in every altar call. I want to get what God got for me. Amen? I make them lay hands on me after church is even over. You can actually get in line here and then run around and get in line here. I don't care. God wants you to have everything you want. He wants you filled, and I mean overflowing. I'm not going to come by and you just standing there with your hands crossed. You're going to, don't put that on me. I'll put the Holy Ghost on you quick. You come in receiving because He wants to give you every single thing. He wants to give you more than you can handle. Don't worry. Somebody will catch you. Some of y'all just need to yield. Just yield. We'll catch you. We'll cover you. You can sleep here all night. Don't be quick to get back up. This is the operating table. Amen. Some of these people in this altar, they don't even know they were going to make it one more night. This is real. They're coming because they felt the call, the anointing to come. If you have to line them up around the wall, line them up around the wall. I feel the anointing in the place. I'm on fire. I don't know about all y'all, but I'm on fire. I feel the Holy Ghost. And this ain't the normal way he reacts with me, so this is something real. No more empty promises. No more empty faith. No more, no more, no more. All of you that just came for the show, we bless you. When you leave, we know you got to go. Some of y'all got to go to bed. Fine. God's going to give you supernatural rest. Supernatural rest. I don't care if you stay here till midnight. You're going to pop up at 5:45 and drink your coffee with Kathy. I feel the Holy Ghost. And just in case there's anybody here that's not saved, just say, "Dear Jesus, come into my heart. I know you are the Son of God, who he raised from the dead." On Easter Sunday at that. Amen. I know you're coming back for me. I'm saved, I'm sanctified, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm on my way to heaven because I have Jesus in my heart. Shebo soto.